right? Because if you practice, you're swinging out there and letting go in midair, and you're rolling around and tumbling around in midair, you want to know that the person on the other side let that other trapeze go, so that when you're out there hanging all by yourself and you reach out, that thing is going to be. That's consistency.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Overcoming by Consistency from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Overcoming by Consistency.
He said, I am. In the Gospels, in John 8:58, he said, I am. In the future, in Revelation 1:18, he said, I am. That Jesus never changes. He's consistent. He's somebody that you can trust. He's somebody that you can rely on. If you're hungry, he's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, he's the living water. If you're lost, he's the way. If you're dead, he's the resurrection. If you're locked out, he's the door. And if you're lost, he's the good shepherd. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we need to look no further other than to look to Jesus Christ. I love one definition I heard of the omnipresence of God, and that is, God left himself where he was going to meet himself where he was at, to go with himself to meet himself where he was going. God never changes. God is consistent every step of the way. So let's look at some things that we can be consistent in. Now, this list actually here comes from a group of Bethany people. This comes from a group of Bethany people. So this is not something that Pastor Glaze, you know, brought up, but this is what Bethany said. You know, what are some things that you should be consistent in? So you don't have to say amen, or you don't have to say ouch if one of these hits you, right? You can just sit there and listen, right? Paying your bills. Ouch. You should be consistent in paying your bills. Amen. Let me let that one stew a little bit, right? Somebody said, hurry up, move on, right? You should be consistent in eating right. You should be consistent in some type of exercise, right? I don't know what it is, you know. I told you, they got people sitting in chairs. You can get exercise by chair exercises, right? All right? You need to be consistent in keeping your word. You need to be consistent in Bible study and prayer. You need to be consistent in being a good testimony. You need to be consistent in obeying the word, and you need to be you need to be consistent in speaking the truth in love. I didn't come up with this. This is what the Bethany family gave me. All right? So you get mad at somebody, get mad at them. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm mad at. No, just. But look at this. The next slide. Consistent people are Christ-like people. Consistent people are Christ-like people. That if you realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you are a consistent person. Why? Because our Savior was consistent and is consistent and will ever be consistent. See, convenience people, they do what's easy. Consistent people do what's right. Convenience people are always looking for the shortcut. How can I find the shortcut? How can I do this without a lot of energy and a lot of effort? But consistent people, same thing, day in and day out. Convenient people do it when it feels good. Consistent people says, well, you know, it might not feel good, but I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to feel good afterwards that I did it. Convenience people are controlled by their moods. Consistent people are controlled by their priorities. Convenient people look for excuses. Consistent people look for solutions. In 1 Corinthians 15, the verse that we read, this is known as the resurrection chapter. And in verses 1 through 11, Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verses 12 through 13, he talks about the resurrection of those who have died in Christ. And in 35 through 57, he talks about the resurrected body of the believer. And after he says all that, now the whole chapter, if anybody ever asks you what is the main chapter in the Bible on the resurrection, where everything is there. See, if you go through the Gospels, you got to kind of piece everything together. But in 1 Corinthians 15, the whole treatise, the whole theological treatise on the resurrection is in chapter 15. And he finishes off chapter 15 by saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so what Paul was telling them, that they need to be consistent in their belief about the resurrection. That don't let anybody move you, don't let anybody change you, don't let anybody talk you out of the resurrection. And so he gives three words in here. I want to break these three words down and talk about them, and I'm done this morning. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, and the first thing he says is be steadfast. Be steadfast. That word steadfast actually means to sit down or be seated. And the idea, I need somebody to hear me this morning, that the idea here is being seated in your personal conviction. That when you know what it is that you're supposed to do, that when you know that this is what I'm supposed to do, that you are seated and nobody can move you from that place. Paul was telling them that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus literally and bodily rose from the dead, and he said, don't let anybody ever move you from that position. Be steadfast. Man, there's all kind of people that will try to shake you off of the resurrection and tell you all kind of things about the resurrection. But he said, be convicted that Jesus rose from the dead, and don't let anybody move you from that place that you're in. That's why, in order for you to be a member of Bethany Baptist Church, that you need to believe that Jesus literally rose from the dead. You know, I mean, that's when, you know, we go over that in the new members class. Right? The fact that you need to know that you know that you know that Jesus rose from the, because that's what we believe. That's what we believe. But how do we translate that into consistency? Well, two things. That you need to live a life of integrity, and you need to live a life of discipline. Look at Psalm 26 in verse 1. Psalm 26 in verse 1. David says here, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. He said that I have walked in my integrity. You know, the idea of integrity is to be blameless in your conscience. To be blameless. That I know that if any accusation is made, that in my conscience, that I'm blameless, that there's nothing that they can come at me with. There's nothing that they can come and shake me off of what it is I believe. So how does that relate to consistency? Let me tell you how that relates to consistency. I gave this illustration before, and I'm gonna give it again. But I remember when I played football, and this was back in the day. They do things different now. But we would do calisthenics, right? Jumping jacks and push-ups and all that kind of stuff. And so I remember that you'd be down doing the push-up, and the coach would, you know, be walking around, you know, watching everybody, and while he was walking around, he would say, up, and everybody would say one. And then he'd keep walking around, and he'd say, up, and everybody would say two. And he would do that until you got to 10, but all the time he was walking around. Well, there was some shysters, right? That whenever the coach got by them and he say up, they wouldn't do the push-up. They would lay on the ground. He would say up, and they would say three. Well, think about that. That's a person that don't have integrity, or that's lazy, or both. Now think about it for a second. All right. He needed to have somebody watching him all the time to make sure that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. A person of integrity has consistency. And a person of integrity that he doesn't need or she doesn't need anybody watching over him, that a person of integrity, they're going to do the right thing whether somebody is watching or somebody's not watching. I heard somebody say this, you are what you are in private. You know, man, when you have the crowds cheering you on, right, it's easy to be able to say, okay, yeah, I need to at least go through the motions, right? I need to let them see me. But then if you really want to know what that person is like, you know, I tell people all the time, if you really want to know what Pastor Glaze is like, if you really want to know what Pastor Glaze is like, ask Angie Glaze, right? Ask Angie Glaze. Because she's there when I'm not up front with a microphone and dressed in a suit or a robe. Right? And so am I the same person there as I am here? That's integrity. That's integrity. And a person of integrity consistently does the things that they're supposed to do. They don't do the push-up. And then when the coach walks by, they stop doing the push-ups. The second thing is that to have a steadfast dedication, it means that you are living a life of discipline. You are living a life of discipline. That if I'm going to be consistent, just like, let me go back to that guy that walks through my neighborhood, right? And he's still out there. This is years ago that he started, and he's still out there. I see him all the time. He has to be disciplined, right? Spring, summer, winter, fall. He's out there doing it. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul talks about the athlete, and he says that he is temperate in all things. That word temperate means self-control, that he disciplines himself. That if you are going to be an overcomer, that you have to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, learn how to discipline yourself. Are you consistent? Are you steadfast in your dedication? I mean, man, have you sat down on what it is that you know that you're supposed to be doing? Whether you're supposed to be a good father, a good mother, whether you're supposed to be a good coworker, whether you're supposed to be a good student, whether you're supposed to be on a certain eating plan or whatever it is. Have you sat down? Have you sat down and said, man, I'm convicted that this is what I'm supposed to do and nothing is going to move me off of this plate? Wow, that's consistency. That's consistency. The second thing we see about consistency is that it involves a staunch determination. A staunch determination. This word here means to be stationary or immovable. The idea being conveyed here is that you will not be moved when under attack, that when you are being attacked outwardly, that you will not be. Paul was telling the people in Corinth, look, I've taught you about the resurrection, and there's going to be people that come up with the swoon theory, the wrong tomb theory, the stolen body theory, the hallucination theory, the spiritual resurrection theory. They're going to come up with all these different theories to explain away the resurrection. And Paul says, don't believe it. He says, you be staunch in your determination that you don't let anybody move you from that place. I don't know how many people that I know that grew up in somebody's church somewhere that you go talk to them now. Well, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He passed out on the cross, and when he got in the grave, the coolness of the tomb revived him and brought him back to life. Man, when I was in Israel, I should have took me a bunch of little vials, right, and got cool air from the tomb and brought it back and sold it, right? I could have made a lot of money if the coolness of the tomb revived. Paul said, don't let anything move you off of the resurrection. And so it's the same thing. Don't let anything move you off of what it is that God has told you to do. That you are an overcomer. And you don't let anything move you off of that. Let me give you two powerful examples from the scripture. Two powerful examples. The first one. Daniel, man of God, taken into Babylonian captivity, and then eventually ended up in Persia and in Media, and found himself, because of his powerful testimony, being elevated. But Daniel did one thing every day. The Bible says that he opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day. He opened his windows, and he prayed three times a day. But there were some guys that didn't like that. And so they went to the king, and Daniel and the king were just like that, right? I mean, Daniel and the king were tight. And so they went to the king, and they said, King, can you make a decree that if anybody prays to any other god besides you, that they'll be thrown into the den of lions? And the king, I guess, had his ego stroked. And so he said, yeah. So he sent out the decree, and it was a decree according to the Medes and the Persians. And that meant that it could not change. So once it went out, and the king figured out that they were trying to do Daniel in, he couldn't change it. And so Daniel, knowing that the decree was out, I love it. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel knowing that the decree was out. I'm talking about consistency. What's this message on this morning? And this message is on consistency. Consistency. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he always did. That's consistent. He didn't let the pressure of the things from the outside shake his consistency. How many of us? I was sharing with people when I first started preaching this message, this series, right? I was teaching out at Cornerstone, and man, this word was convicting me, man. I mean, it was convicting. I'm an overcomer. You know, you can do this. You can eat right. You can exercise. Man, it was in me. This message was in me. And my last night at Cornerstone, last night there, people said, man, we appreciate you coming and teaching. And this one person came up and gave me a big box of homemade cookies. Woo! And the person said, you know, I just baked these today, and, you know, I have all kind. And I said, oh. So I said, I'm going to keep these cookies in my car. I'm not going to take them in my house. Right? So every night when I got out of my house to go into my car, I'd get a cookie. And then, you know, I'm thinking, after a while, maybe these cookies are going to be gone, right? And the person put like these like cellophane things where there was another layer of cookies under the next. So there was a couple of times I thought, well, you know, I'm to the end of this, and there's only two cookies. Let me just go ahead and eat it and be done with it. So I ate it and pulled it up, and there was another. but what am I saying? You know, when you have staunch determination, man, you don't let anything move you, right? You don't. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to let anything move me. And I need to say that I did get the victory over eating those cookies. I just went ahead and ate them all. No, but look at Daniel. I mean, if Daniel can do it, you know, in a thing such as, man, you're getting ready to get thrown into the lion's den. And he still did the same thing day in and day out. Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill. Let's see, I'm not talking to any of y'all now. Come on, man. Come on, man. You better than that, man. You better than that, right? You better than that. You know, if you have, what's that? If you have been rooted and stationary and immobile, that you're not going to be moved off of what it is that you're supposed to do. That's what it means. That you don't compromise, even if it's, and I'm giving an illustration on myself, right? So I'm, you know, like I said, man, I just put all my business out there. Right? Even when you're under pressure, Even when you're under pressure, you don't compromise. You don't compromise. That's a consistent person. And then a person with the staunch determination sees a thing through until the end. Sees it through all the way to the end. What does consistency do? That I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to be consistent all the way until the end. All the way until I finish. That's what consistency is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, I finished my course. I was consistent. I finished the course. Now, you might say, well, that sounds good. But let me show you one thing. Let me let you in on a little peep of one thing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 23. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure. Now, you know what stripes is. That means that he got whipped, that they put stripes on his back. In prison, more frequently, in death, often. He said there was many times that you remember that one time Paul got stoned and they left and thought he was dead. He said, in deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I suffered shipwreck. 1 and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils in the water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I had no food, I was cold, and I was naked. And I finished the course. I finished the course. I finished the course. I could have quit. There's many places along the way I could have stopped, but I finished the course. And a person that is consistent, no matter what is thrown before them, finishes the course. Finishes. And then the last thing that I want to say is that when we look at this idea of consistency, he says always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the word here means to exceed the requirements. It means overflowing or overdoing. That the person that's consistent goes the extra mile, overflows. You know, the inconsistent person, as I said earlier, is always looking for the easy way, looking for the short way, looking for the cheap way. But the person that's consistent or exceeds the requirement in an overflowing. Solomon said, whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. That once you go to the grave, you can't do one more thing. You can't come back and pray one more prayer, preach one more sermon, sing one more song, do one more good deed. It's over. He said, do it now. Do it. Be consistent now, overflowing with all your might. And I want to leave us with this thought. There was a conference, and consistency and success was there. Consistency had a name tag. Hello, my name is Consistency. I make it happen day in and day out. You might know my good friend, Success. We're always hanging out.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the start of a new series. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Overcoming by Consistency, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Overcoming by Consistency. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Overcoming by Consistency. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, More Than Conquerors. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.